Water. Any water? Lot of water?
No, I can't. I'm very excited about it.
We have special guests.
Yeah. No, seriously.
I'm not sure if I... It's been a while. Hashem.
We're back.
Very excited to be sitting together again. Moshe Tzvi and Rav Chava here. We get together doing our Aseres and Tshuva. Erev, Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaKadosh. Secha Me'enech Yashaves. It's a special slot to enter into the Yom HaKadosh. What's on all of our minds right now is the mitzvah of Tshuva. Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So let's discuss a little bit the pnimius, how to make the avodah of Tshuva practical to us. I think we're all familiar, Baruch Hashem, with the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, and the Shari Tshuva, Rabbi Yoina, classic sfarim throughout all the generations. But perhaps many of you feel like I do, that of course these teachings are timeless, and there's the Halachos of Tshuva, and they apply to us, and they apply to Kol Yisrael B'Shava. But as already B'nai Torah, Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, when we hear the Shainis in the Sfarim of the Rishonim about Yazav Rosh Hadarkoi, Vishavim Achshavoisav, sometimes we feel like it's not speaking to us so much. And B'emes, they were written for Poishim V'chatoyim, and people who were mamish, totally off the Derech Hashem. And it wasn't that long ago, it was Shavuos, and we sit at the Har, and we say, Nasa V'nishma, we're ready to keep all the Torah Mitzvahs, and here we are, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Everybody's doing their best, and we want to know, how is Tshuva Nogeh to me? Sfarim HaKadoshim also tell us that, although when we speak about Tshuva, the different parts of what makes up Tshuva, which we know as Azivas HaChet, and Charata, Vidui, Kabbalah Al-Asir, so the Talmid of Hashem Tov especially are very strong, almost unanimous, that the Iker Inyan when it comes to Tshuva, amongst those four, is Kabbalah Al-Asir. Ein Va'ata El Tshuva. To make a strong Kabbalah moving forward, what's going to be for the coming year. Ad She'yoyed Olav, Yodiyah Talumais. And the question then becomes, Lamaisa, what does it mean to accept upon myself a Kabbalah? I find that year goes by, and those Kabbalahs, they fall away, and it's very frustrating. How to take upon myself a Kabbalah, which is really the right match for me, not to take too much, not to take too little. In fact, there's a lesson. Shlomo Kluger, thank you. In Kehilas Yaakov, he writes, "Hinei haroi l'chol adam sheikabal alatzma b'chol shana l'sakin izadaver min ma'isav yoyisim b'mashal hayim misnaik b'shana shava." It's incumbent upon a person to be makabal upon himself each year something more than last year. But then, ki im yisvayis harbe, achakach inyach hakol. If he takes too much, then it could be tafasta maruba like tafasta. But if he is mekabel upon himself, perhaps something very small, it could be that that little bit won't be enough to move us, to really set us in the right direction. Like the footnote says, tshuva is not about making a difference, it's about making a change. And that's really the Avodas Hazman. Something that we're thinking about moving forward. How is this year going to be different? Manishtana, Hashana, Azois. In fact, with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he was once answering Shailas on Erev Yom HaKadosh, and he remarked to his family members, and he said, you know, tonight I receive Shailas on every area of Torah, especially in Nogeya, to the Tainis, and everything which pertains to Makipurim. But the one Shaila which I didn't receive even one question on was how to do Tshuva. So for B'nai Torah, it's something which is on our mind. We want to do tshuva for the coming year, but it can easily be overlooked that it's the call of the Zman. It's a serious mei tshuva, and Yom HaKippurim is the day of tshuva l'chaisa. You know that the year divides into two parts, Tishrei and Nisan. I'm going to try to be Mekatsa. The difference between Nisan and Tishrei, the Ari tells us, is one is Zachar, one is Nekeva. Tishrei being Zachar, Nisan being Nekeva. And these are two completely different tracks. We could say that Nisan is called Havaya, Tishrei is called Elokim. The track of Nisan is the Zman of Nisim, hence the name Nisan. The whole Seder Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Malum in Ateva. L'man Teida, Ki Ani Havaya. The Shem Havaya appears on the scene. Whereas Tishrei in that Chevra is an Inyan of Elokim, Bereishis Bar Elokim, the whole Seder Maisa Bereishis is only through the Shem Elokim. Elokim being Hateva is well known. If that's the case, that Tishrei is a Zman of Teva and Nisan is a Zman of Nisim, which we know is certainly true, why is it that the mitzvah of tshuva falls in this camp? Why is it when it comes to Tishrei that the avoda is to do tshuva? How does it relate to the inyan of Chodesh Tishrei b'chlal? One way to say it, tshuva means to return to your source. And since the beginning of time, the beginning of Adam, of everything began in Chodesh Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah. So it makes perfect sense why Tishrei should be the Zman of Tshuva. Tshuva means to return. But to help us understand the Avodah of Tshuva and what that means for us, let's take a look at a teaching from the Baal HaTanya, general teaching of the Baal HaTanya, to help us understand perhaps for a Ben Torah, what tshuva means, what the chiv of tshuva is, mitzad hateva, mitzad tishrei, on a deeper level. The Baal HaTanya, there was nobody who spoke at Chassidus more clearly, who explained to us the pratius, the inner workings of Chassidus. We know that when it comes to Pnimius HaTorah, we refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Ein Sof. Less machshava tfisa b'klal, we can't understand the Ribbono Shel Olam, is literally endless, there's no beginning, there's no end, Ein Sof. But that has a very practical, real meaning for us in Avodas Hashem. As the Baal HaTanya explains, that the chayk, or the teva, ki'ilu, kibyachal, of that which is Ein Sof means that it's forever going. It's forever moving forward, and it's forever getting better, and there's no end to this process of constantly, constantly going higher and better and greater. And the Baal HaTanya explains that every single year in Rosh Hashanah, something very dynamic and incredible takes place in the Bria. Every year in Rosh Hashanah, there is a light which is Nisgala, which is Machaya, all the Oilam is Ra'atha Machaya is Kulam, for that year. Like is well known from the Racham Kodesh and the Tzadikim that there's enough Chiyas in the world from Shabbos to Shabbos. That as soon as Shabbos comes, so there's a new Chiyas for the coming week. And that's true on every single level. But especially B'chol Shana B'shana, there's an Or Ein Sof, which is a new Or, which is Machaya, the Oilamas. Oilamas means everything in the entire Mitzias for that year. And the Baal HaTanya explains that when it comes Leil Rosh Hashanah, there's a histalkus of that Or. That Or goes away. And the whole secret of the Shofar is that it reveals that new light, at least B'koyach. Or Chodesh HaTzion Tayer, there's a new light for this year, which is going to be Machaya, all the Oilamas. And that light is better than the year before. Because the Or Ein Sof means that it's not Ein Sof in a way that it's getting worse, Chalila, and it's not going to be the same as last year. Ein Sof means that it's getting better. As the Baal HaTanya explains, that therefore the word Shofar is Milashon Shofar, which means to beautify. And as Reb Tzadik and others explain the Pasuk, Dor L'Dor Yisharach Masecha, that although we're familiar going to yeshiva, is that every generation which goes by gets more shvach and more shvach, gets lesser and worser. Hiskatnus hadoris, but that's only true in the chitzonis. But in the pnimius, every moment which goes by is getting better and better, bringing us closer to Mashiach, the story of the chayuzah and the ticking clock, everybody knows. Dor L'Dor Yisharach Masecha, every generation which goes by, it gets better. And that's in the Pnimius. And that takes place on the level of Shana, on the level of Zman, with the Tkiyas HaShofar. Because Tkiyas HaShofar represents Or. Asher Yom Yoidei Trua Be'or Panecha Yehalecha. Adavad Hashem Oyi Rizu Rosh Hashanah. Yihi Or Da Pesach Zazoyer Vayihi Or Da Rosh Hashanah. There's a new Or which is Neskala in Rosh Hashanah. A better light. And the chayk is, the klal is, as we move on to the next segment of the understanding the sinyan. Like the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Brachos, David HaMelech, the comparison between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and a Neshama, the klal is by Klal Yisrael, is Mahu Afata. Everything which pertains to the Ribbono Shel Olam pertains to Klal Yisrael. As we're going to say in this week's parsha, it's a mafurish pasuk, Ki chelek havaya ama. The simple pshat of that pasuk is that Hashem chose us to be His nation. But as the Svarim all say, Ki chelek havaya ama means that Klal Yisrael is a shtik havaya. And so therefore, whatever takes place on the level of Ein Sof, it pertains to us. It happens to us. And in fact, if you want to go so far as to say, to be very precise, is that when we talk about this Or, which is Nisgal in the Bria, it's not somewhere in the cosmos, it's taking place within Nishmas Yisrael. Nishmas Yisrael is what's been given the task of being the Tzinor to reveal that light to the world. It comes in through Knesset Yisrael. And with this we can understand Tshuva on a much deeper level, and how it pertains mamish to a davish of the Teva. Because this is a cycle which is taking place every single year in Rosh Hashanah. And really this is what sets in motion on Rosh Hashanah through the Shofar, the whole Seder of Tshuva, of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. To be exact, on Rosh Hashanah is the Tkiyas HaShofar, that's B'Koyach, but the revelation of that light is the Yom Kippur. And it's B'Koyach that Or, that the Slicha Mechila Kapar, it's not just a day of forgiveness, it's a day of closeness. It's a day of Dveikus. It's a day of where Adam becomes one with that Or, like we find already by Rosh Hashanah, that the Arizal explains the Ha'adamas Pnei Taikeya and what that means without getting into the Sugya. This Yichud of the Adam with that Or. But for what it means, Tshuva on a previous level, based on the words of the Baal HaTanya, is that there's a new Havaya which is Nisgalo this year. And he teaches, I believe, that which we say every single day by the Yidden Lomidus of Rachamim, says, Vayikra, Vayavar al Hashem Alpana, Vayikra, Havaya, Havaya. What does it mean, Vayikra, Havaya, Havaya? That a lower Havaya is calling out to the next Havaya to be Nisgalo. that Havaya from the past year is saying, my turn is over. This was the Gilui of the Or for this year, and it's time for a new Hisgalus of Havaya into the world. Better than last year, Zor L'Doy Shalach Masech. And that, Rabbi Yisrael, is the secret of Tshuva. The secret of Tshuva doesn't mean that a person should change himself in a way that he has to force himself to act in a way which doesn't exactly fit where he's holding. Tshuva is something which has taken place. Something is better this year on a deeper level. Havaya is different, Havaya is bigger, La'ilu, La'ila. And so Knesset Yisrael and every single person, Bechlal Knesset Yisrael, is higher this year. And therefore the question now becomes, what do I do? What do I do in Chitzonius? What do I do in Maisim, Machshav and Dibor, which is going to align itself with this process, which is already unfolding? It's unfolding in Tishrei because it's part of the Seder HaTeva that Tshuva is taking place. It's taking place in the Bria, but it's taking place specifically in its Shairish within Knesset Yisrael. How do I align myself with the Havaya this year, Kichelek Havaya Amai? That's the question in Pnimius when it comes to Lamais and doing Tshuva. And being that Tshuva expresses itself primarily in an Inyan of Kabbalah La'asid, what could we be makabal upon ourselves for the coming year which matches this explosion which is taking place on a previous level? And I've said in the past that we abuse and misunderstand a memo which floats around the yeshivas that Rav Shach was makabal upon himself to bench from a bencher on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm talking about a tzaddik yisad oylam, knu kol ha'tar kula, mamash ha'kadosh ha'tahar. You know, when we reach that level, we can start to, you know, be medayik and prati pratim, to feel like, you know, but he wasn't a 20, 30-year-old asking himself, you know, should I be benching from a bencher, from Masha Yatzikar? That wasn't the avodah. That was not the avodah. And that's what Rishlomo Kugler said, not to take something too small, which is zelono geya b'chla. We have much bigger issues to deal with. That's not what Rosh Hashanah is calling us to do. That may work, you know, in a kislev somewhere, but on Rosh Hashanah, it's big. So Lani Yastayti, the Mahalach, is to make shalom between the two tzadim of Rishlomo Kugler, and not to take on too much tafasta, meruba lo tafasta, but at the same time, to take on one thing which is a very big thing. If we think about it and we have a moment of silence in Yishev Adas, there's probably a few things in our Avodas Hashem which we seem to ignore and we don't want to look at, and we push it away, and we don't want to confront it or deal with it either because we've tried to in the past and we've failed, and we're disappointed in ourselves and we don't think that we have the ability to take it on. Or for whatever other reason. But Rosh Hashanah is a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, that's what I want from you this year. That ikuv, that meniya, which is holding us back in so many arenas in our Avodas Hashem. Because to take on this and to take on that becomes very prati. But there is one thing which is a prab, which is really a klal, which is nogia to everything. And it's not something which is going to be equal to everybody. But the musig is equal to everybody. It may be a few things, but there's usually a shayrish of a shayrish. And that's really what Rosh Hashanah is. Yes, it's Yom Echad B'Shana, it's one day on the calendar, but it's a very big day. It's a prat, but it's not a prat that it sits by itself. It's nogeya to everything. Everything follows the Rosh. And we see this musig when it comes to the Akedah. You know, we're very busy with the Akedah during this time of year. And the slichas leading up to Rosh Hashanah, then of course Rosh Hashanah itself, with the Shofar Shel Ayil, and the Akedah, and the Kriyas HaTorah, and we think that we're done, and then we're doing the slichas of Yetzinei Tshuva, and there it is, once we think that we're like heading into Shema Kaleinu, and we're going to be done with the Tachanun, and there it is, the Akedah again. And we conclude the whole Seder of Yaseir Yetzinei Tshuva with the Tkiyah, with the Shofar Shel Ayil once again at the end, which says that the Shechinah is going to be nostalgic, Shechinah is leaving the har. What is the Akedah Nogeya to us? Why are we turning into the Akedah? Aside from the fact that Al-Pi Pshat, we're being Ma'oyre, the Schos of Amnistak and Yaakov, we can't take that away, Chalila. But what it means for us with Derech Avodah is exactly this he said. The Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, I know you'll do anything for me, but there's one thing which I want from you, which is that one thing which you probably don't want to give me. Kachna es bincha es yichusra es shahavte es yitzchak. This is what I want from you. I want the one thing which is the most precious to you, which you cherish the most, and I want you to give that to me. That's what the Akedah represents. The Kadosh Baruch Hu shows up in Rosh Hashanah and he says, there's nothing which I want more than to have a kesher with you, than to have a beikus and heskarvis to you, but there are things in our relationship that if you hold those things back from me, then there's an ikuv, then there's a mechitza between us. And Hashem says in Rosh Hashanah and during this entire tkufa of the Akedah, this is what I want from you. I want that one thing. I'm not asking for much. I'm not telling you to do this. But this one thing, echad, which is a capital Dalit, that one thing, that's what I want from you. And perhaps that's also the aside of why we read Parshas Kisavai. Before Rosh Hashanah and the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the Pashup Shad, of course, is Tich Leshana V'Kelevei Saha. Gemara tells us. However, if we take a look at the Inyan of Bikurim, what it is, we're not farmers, we'll just try to get into the psyche of a farmer for a second. He works, plants, takes care, tends to, reaps, brings it in, is looking forward to sitting down at the table and making a lachayim, making a bracha, and to make a bari pri adama, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these first fruits, which he's been waiting for months. This is his parnasa, this is his whole life, revolves around these fruits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shuldigs, I want you to bring that to the Beis HaMikdash, bring them to the Kayim, bring them to the Mizbeach, and I want them to be for me. It's asking a lot. It's the one thing which, if he were to have it on his own, to enjoy it, it would be such a beautiful experience. You can make a Gevaldik Tish out of it. It would be amazing. Hashem says, no, that belongs to me. And the reason why it comes to the Mizbeach and Yitzchak comes to the Mizbeach is because the Mizbeach represents Mesiras Nefesh. Hashem is asking from us. And we know that Yom HaKippurim is a day of Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, a Mikveh Metayr, a Kodesh Baruch Metayr. But in the Mikveh there could be no Mechitzes. There could be no Chatzitzes. And if there's that one thing which we didn't give over to the Ribbono Shel Olam, where we're makabel on that thing, to give it to Hashem, then how can we come to Yom Kippur and to say that there are no Chatzitzes here in this book? It has to be Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur, like the Bali Musar asked, shouldn't it be the opposite? But Yom Kippur is a mechanism. It works mikayach the fact that we're swimming in the Orein Sof Baruch Hu. If there's a new Or which is Nesgalin, we connect to that in Yom HaKippurim. But if we haven't done the tshuva in Rosh Hashanah to say goodbye to that chatzitza, to that one thing which is really the shayrish of so many things, then we can't come to Yom Kippur and to be taival and to say there's no mechitzas and no chatzitzas between us. Rebbe Lapian said, in the Haklam Batadei Viliyo, he said, Chalila v'chas, that a person should go through Ne'ila, not having to clarify it and to understand for himself what it is that he's being makabel for this year. When we say, V'im lo'yach shavei masai, and we're throwing up our hands, like, what do you mean, V'im lo'yach? What am I supposed to do now? V'im lo'yach shavei masai, and we're just screaming and we're shouting, and we're saying, of course, that's very important, and that's huge, because we're banking on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Rachmanas at the end of the day. But what it means, L'maisa, that it shouldn't pass in the Eid without going through this Kufa of the Akedah, that having said, Masiyag Yumaisa L'maisa Yavoyisai, that I confronted that issue. I took that Bikurim and I said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this to you and it matters to me and it's a degree of mysterious nefesh, but that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. That's what the Zman is all about. That's what it means tshuva. That there's a new or which is Neskala and the Kapara comes from that. But how do I align myself with that or? This or is maybe one or, but it's a Gevaldik or. But that translates into the lamaisa is one thing but a big thing. One thing but a big thing which really matters. And Ashar, Yisbarach doesn't forget. The Avos Yisrael envisioned it. He said, why is it that Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaZikaron? He says, the reason why it's called Yom HaZikaron is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the whole year the Kabbalahs we made on Rosh Hashanah. And it's difficult. It's difficult to keep it up. But there's an avodah for the year. And it's a very big avodah. And if we take kleinigkeit and small things, so then it's a lo mishaneh. So whether we keep it or we don't keep it, it was okay. It made sense on Rosh Hashanah perhaps, but if it's mamish nogeya, if I thought it through and I had a moment of Yishev Adas and I came to the conclusion that this is a big deal, I can really grow if I give this over to the Baruch Shem, I think this is what he's asking me for. So then it's not just that when it's Cheshvan and Kislev, then it will just fall away. Hashem Yisrael remembers. That's called Yom HaZikaron. And perhaps that's why every single day in Shacharis, after we make brachas, the first thing which we come to is the Akedah. Elokeinu v'lokei aviseinu. The parsha of the Akedah teaches us a lot about davening. But really what it is a reminder on a daily basis for Rosh Hashanah, the Kabbalah which we made, which was like, what was the Akedah that I made this year? And I think for B'nai Torah, which we all are, Baruch Hashem, it's something which we can talk about. Because we have higher hasagas. And we say it as it is. And the good news is that there is support. Because it's not just we're trying to do maisim and dibur and machshavas, which are just a migdol parech ba'avir somewhere. It's taken place already. The tshuva is in process. The real tshuva is on a pinyus level. There's an or in self which is nitzgala for this year. And it's nogeya to me. It's in me. How do I align this year with that or? It's b'teva. It's tishrei. It's part of the elokim. It's part of that teva. That's what it means, Havaya Hu Elokim, which we conclude in Makipurim, that there's a new Havaya, which is the Skal and the Teva. Hashem Yisrael should help us. That we should be able to follow in the footsteps of our Hasein HaKadoshim, and to grow Le'ilu Le'ilu. To be able to take that one Echad and to be Makadosh and say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad on it, and to be Zeichav, to Mikveh. Yisrael Hashem, to align ourselves with that or, to be dovek to that or through the entire year, and should be zeicher to aksiva, to sing the prayer, to do the benchtior, and to shnas, udo Yeshua, to call Yisrael, amen. Amen.
bottom left is a. I want to start by saying thank you to Hashem for giving us a Rebbe like Rabbi Rubenstein. I said to Rabbi Rubenstein after he shared just now with us, I could listen to him forever. I remember, I was thinking today, I was trying to think about when I first had the chutz to meet you. And it was really some shiurim that you were giving in Landers at the time, or in Hawaii Torah. I think Chesky Shrier maybe first made the connection. And I just remember, like, I was listening to these shiurim, I was gobbling up these Purim shiurim and Mauritius shiurim, and it was just unbelievable. And I remember thinking at the time, like, who is this guy? You know? I would never call him a guy nuts. Jesus covered, but at the time, I was like, just unbelievable chidushim with such amazing clarity. And we have our mission statement for the Yom HaKadosh. You know what we need to do. Not to be small, not to be too big, to take ourselves seriously and to tap into that amazing or Havaya Hu Elokim that Hashem is bringing to the world. I'm going to try to share something that I hope will make sense. I know it's late, especially for those who came all the way from Long Island. Certainly want to let Harry Rubenstein get back in a reasonable time, just for a couple of minutes. It's an idea that I started thinking about 11 years ago. I was trying to make this year at the time, and I wrote down in my notes at the time, like, there's something here, not really sure what's going on. Maybe we'll come back to it one day. And I spent today, I spent a lot of time today thinking about it again, and trying to make some sense of it. And it's very humbling when you learn Torah, or you try to learn Torah in a serious way, and you really try to immerse yourself in an idea or sugya, and you just keep digging, and you're digging, and you're digging, and you're like, you're digging up gems, but you're also like, you know, your hands are getting dirty from all of the searching and the sifting and the you know, you thought you had something, and then the whole thing falls apart, and it's such a humbling experience to see that when you work hard at something, on the one hand you feel like, wow, I know, I understand it so much better now. But if you're honest with yourself, you also realize, I don't understand anything. And that's how I feel about what I'm going to try to share with you. I feel like after all the working on it, I feel like it's not even a chiddush anymore. And I feel like I don't even understand like how to say the pashut pshat of it anymore. So let's try it together. There's a halacha that the Ramah brings in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah in Tafkuf Pei Gimel. It's based on the Maharil in the Sefer Minhagim. Maharil writes, I'll read you the lashon of the Maharil. The Maharil says that we should be careful, the Jewish people should be careful. Shelo lahaki b'shas ha-tkiyah. Doesn't mean not to vomit during Tkiyah Shofar, but it means not to cough during Tkiyah Shofar. Not to cough, not to clear your throat during Tkiyah Shofar. Part of what we're thinking about b'shas tkiyah is the tkiyos, the kolos, the shofar of Har Sinai, when the world was perfectly still. So the Maharil brings, a Jew should be careful, we should be zahir, not to make any noise b'shas tkiyah. To be very, very careful about that. L'man yishmu asakol shalim v'lo yafsik k'mali nim. And not even to have a hefsek. Meaning you'll still hear the tkiyah. You'll certainly hear the beginning of the end, but maybe like in the middle of the tkiyah, you just like clear your throat for a second. So maybe that little hair's breadth of a break is a hefsek. V'ikah b'zeh deos im tchila asakol ikar or sofa is the beginning of the tkiyah, the ikar is the end of the tkiyah, the ikar. Therefore, says the Maharil, anything that increases one's phlegm, anything that causes you to need to clear your throat, asur lechol Rosh Hashanah. It's asur to eat Rosh Hashanah. Because you don't want to spend Rosh Hashanah clearing your throat. God forbid, b'shas tekiyos. U'mitam zeh yesh nizharin melechol that goes in Rosh Hashanah, kodem ha-tekiyah. Therefore, there are those who are careful not to eat egozim, not to eat walnuts, before tekiyah shofar. Sam Sofer, by the way, had a minute that after tekiyah shofar, he wasn't matter on this anymore. after my tkiya shofar, there's this Indian to make sure that you don't have a piece of a nut stuck in your throat. Okay? And you should be careful not to talk. The Rama brings in Tafkuf Pei Gimel, Yesh medaktikim shalol le'achol agozim. Based on this Ma'aril, there are those who are makbid not to eat agozim. And the Rama brings two reasons. She'egoz b'gematria chet. First of all, everyone knows that egoz is gematria chet. Egoz is 17, chet is 18, but that's close enough. So, shkayach, good. Egoz is gematria chet. Va'od, she'ein marbim kicha v'niya, also it causes an increase, a lot of phlegm. U'mevatlim ha'tfila, and it interrupts the tefillah, not just the tekiya, it interrupts the tefillah. Primagadmus is what we, this should be a concern all year round. You don't want to interrupt tefillah, but on a day like Rosh Hashanah, we want everything to be crystal clear. Those are the two reasons the Ramah brings. Very interesting. The egos is gematria chet. Yadua, the Kotzker Rebbe said, chet is also gematria chet, even more gematria chet than egos. We should be careful not to do averos for all the minhagim that we have in Rosh Hashanah. We should be careful with chataim themselves. But it's a funny thing. That's the first explanation that Ramah brings. The egos, be so nisar, stay away from the egos, because egos is gematria chet. And you start to look around, and we don't have time for it now. But you start digging around in the minhagim svarim. You look in all the geshmak svarim that talk about minhagi Yisrael, and it gets really interesting. And there are those who are really into this. There are those who are poking fun at this. The mashal in the sefer Noe Kitzon Yosef, which is a sefer of Minhagim, one of the Rabbanim of Frankfurt, according to many of the Minhagim of Frankfurt. Masha oimri mitzas anashim she'ein le'achol agozim b'Rosh Hashanah mitam de'egos v'gamachi achet ein bo mamish ki ma lanu l'gamachios. This is how we live our lives. It's halacha. Is there a ma? The real reason is that we shouldn't be coughing and hawking and, you know, spitting up phlegm in the middle of tkiya shofar and the tefillah. Basically poking fun at this first reason, but it's not the ikar reason at all. The va'od, the second reason is the ikar reason. But you start to enter into the sugya of the egos, and it's a wondrous world. The whole world of the egos. I don't know what the chevra has seen or hasn't seen. Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Oginos egos yiradu. I went down into the garden of the egos. And Kiyadua, you look in the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Zohar Kadosh, Rabbi Akiva, is very busy, in the Zohar and Shemos, the Daf Tesvav Amud is, talking about what is the Oginos egos yiradu, mamish, massive secrets, the sword of the egos. And yet we're so afraid of this egos. We're so scared of this egos on Rosh Hashanah. We don't want to go anywhere near it. Because egos is somehow with the kolel gematria chet. I don't want to go anywhere near the egos. It's mamish a deep secret, the egos. In the Sefer Gematrios, just to respond to the Rav from Frankfurt, who says, Malalano to Gematrios, in the Sefer Gematrios from Yehuda Chassid, he writes in Os Shintas Rav, Elginas egos yiradati. He says, Elginas egos, that pasuk in the sixth parak of Shir HaShirim, Elginas egos is gematria zo omek hamer kapra. This is the depths and the secrets of Merkava. So the deepest, deepest secrets of Kabbalah, the visions of Yechezkel, Amish, deepest secrets of Yeshayah, of Yechezkel, these unbelievable secrets. The Chachmas Ha'egos Lacha, the secret of the egos that is ripening, that is still in the process of ripening. If you understand the sugi of the egos, the secret of the egos, Yecholin Leida Harbe Dugmas HaMerkava. You can understand a lot of the secrets, a lot of the sodos of Maisa Merkava. What does the egos have to do with the Merkava? Is the egos something good? Is the egos something bad? Is the egos the deepest secrets of Kabbalah? Is the egos Gematria Chet? You know, it's our kryptonite on Rosh Hashanah, stay away from it. And the truth is, there are those who extend the Merkava. Some of the Svarim say that really you should extend the minhag to all of Chodesh Elul. Maybe you shouldn't eat agozim until after Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, right? After the real Gemara Chasima. I didn't see anyone who says Zos Chanukah, but the stomach's out there. You shouldn't eat the egos until Zos Chanukah. We're so afraid of this egos because it's Gematria Chet. And yet, there's a sod amok. Zo amok ha merkava. It's the secret of the merkava. As far as the egos is gematria tov. Egos is good. It's the ginas ha-egos. It's merami sagan eden. The Zohar says unbelievable things about the egos. So what are we to make of this confusing little map? In Yechezkel's visions, Yechezkel sees what we refer to as he says, I'm standing, Nibesocha Gola, the first parak of Yechezkel. I'm standing Besocha Gola, part of the exile community, I'm standing on Nahar Kvar, and all of a sudden, Niftachu HaShemayim, I saw wondrous visions. I saw these unbelievable visions. And I saw a Ruach Sa'ara, and I saw an Anan Gadol, and I saw an Eish Mislakachas, Vinogelo Saviv. And these four things that Yechezkel saw, these four things that he saw as part of his vision, this Ruach Sa'ara, this awesome stormy wind, this Anan Gadol, this big dark cloud, the Eish Mislakachas, this flash of fire, and Nogelo Saviv with the sort of illumination that surrounds it. The tzaddikim tell us that those four things that Yechezkel saw in Golus represent the four klipos. The four things that, again, whatever that means, the Rubenstein probably has 100 shirim on it, he can explain to us what it is. The four forms of blockage. And it has a lot to do with the egos. Because when you look at the egos, if you study the egos, the tzaddikim can explain to us that the egos also has four klipos. The ego is the walnut. Until you actually get to the pre, until you get to the fruit, there are four klipos that need to be broken through. Most of us are familiar with the walnut when it's just a hardened nut, which needs to be cracked. But really, the way that it grows first in this like velvety, almost leather, green exterior that needs to be peeled off, no matter what. And then there's another klipa, then there's the hard outer shell. And then after you crack that, you'll see that the nut is sort of trapped in this encasing, a third layer. And then there's this thin filament, this fourth layer, this fourth klipa that really clings to the fruit. And that represents klipas noga. For those who've learned a little bit of Sefer Tanya, you know about klipas noga. Klipas noga sort of is a bridge between the world of that which is good and the world of that which is impure. And that's why that filament, that little thin layer that clings to the egos, if you eat it with the egos, the sweetness, the tastiness of the fruit will overpower. If you eat it by itself, it's a very bitter taste. Ideally, maybe it's best to find a way to remove that extra little layer. Let's learn a vart in Musar. One of the great Hungarian Rabbanim, Rav Shaul Brach. Rav Shaul Brach was a very nice one. Rav Shaul Brach was a Talmud by Maharam Shik, was a Talmud Muvak of the Chassam Sofer. Afterwards, he went to the Chassam Sofer, the grandson of the Chassam Sofer. Mamish, a big goon, very deep person. Wrote amazing svarim, interesting svarim, many, many areas of Torah. So he has a sefer on Inyanei Rosh Hashanah called Dvar HaMelucha. Beautiful sefer. And he writes about this minhag of the Ramah, not to eat the egos, not to engage the egos. And he writes in Os Pei Aleph, Ki HaEgos Yesh Dalet Klipos. And egos is wrapped, is trapped. That egos, the fruit that we're trying to get to, is somehow trapped in these four layers. Klipa hayaroka. First there's that outer green layer that we described, and if you cook it, if you heat it up, it falls away somewhat easily. Va'achar kacha kosha, and then you get to the hard nut that has to be cracked. I saw today from Baruch Mezrich said that, how do you crack the walnut? You either use your yadayim, or you use your teeth. And he had a whole beautiful Torah, can I get the Bris HaMa'or, the Bris HaLashon, and a breakthrough the Klipos. Yom Kippur, we know, Asemis writes, based on the Svarim HaKadoshim, earlier Svarim, that Yom Kippur is connected Bris Mila. Somehow, the using of the Adayim, or using one's mouth to crack the egos, to remove that blockage, is somehow reminiscent of the Moel, maybe B'Shas Priya, maybe the Moel B'Shas Mila, maybe the Moel B'Shas Metzitza B'Peh, somehow trying to break through those layers. But there are four layers, says Rav Shaul Brach. You have the green outer layer, then you have the hard outer layer, then you have a klipa, again, like I mentioned, that this surrounds, that encases the walnut. And then there's the klipa revias devuka ba'aruchel, that thin filament that clings to the nut. V'yesh lomar ki ha-klipa ha-rishona hi neged taivas b'hamas, sha'odam no larimah. The first layer, the green layer, that's unripe, represents the taivas that we're all born with, the things that hopefully will come away on their own. Most of us can hopefully grow past some of the childish averus that we do. But then you get to sort of the more difficult adult averus. Because she is gadol, umizgaber sichlo, yiplu me'atzvan. Again, those are the things that fall away on their own. A klipa shnia, who connected midos raos, could go on gaiva v'kas. Adult problems. You go bal gaiva, you kavod, kas, getting angry at people. Klipa shlishus. And then you have a third klipa, which again represents asserted. Again, it's already touching. It's touching the fruit. It's so close to the fruit. It represents an inability to do a mitzvah b'lev shalim. Just needs to be chipped away. It's blocking the full expression of the mitzvah that wants to reveal itself. And then there's that fourth layer, like we said, that clings to the fruit itself, that clings to the nut. And if you're able, he says, to remove it, then all the better. But the longer it stays there, and the longer the nut develops, the harder it is to separate it from the fruit itself. And he says, and that's why we have to be so careful not to eat walnuts, not to eat agos on Rosh Hashanah. Because on Rosh Hashanah, when we're thinking about the different averos that we've done over the course of our life, the ones that we've been zochet to remove, and the ones that we're still struggling to remove, the walnut comes and sort of almost, you know, mocks us and reminds us, look how many more layers there are for you to go. Look at the things you still need to work on. Look at the things that you should have dealt with earlier, and now they're clinging to the fruit, and maybe you'll never be able to separate it. And the truth is, we're so insensitive that we'll eat the fruit with the filament, we'll eat the nut with the filament, and we'll think it tastes fine. Because it does. Because the egos itself will overwhelm the bitterness of that thin last layer, that klipas noga. But if you're a mature person, says Rosh Hashanah, you find a way to remove that as well. You want to get rid of that as well. You're not satisfied leaving that. So the altar of Rosh Hashanah, we're so afraid. We're so nervous about this war. But to be makatz or mamish, a lot. And to be sensitive to everyone's time. And to help us understand where we're standing now. It's past Rosh Hashanah. It's past the Aseres Meitzu. Again, there are different minhagim when we return, when we feel comfortable once again, coming back to the egos, which is gematria tov. The egos, which is meramis, there's so many things, so many secrets of the egos. The aleph is keser. And the gimel, maybe is chabad. And then the vav, maybe the exex. And then the zayin, maybe the malchus. There's so many secrets of the egos. There's so many things that are happening with the egos. The Rambam says so many sodos haTorah. Al ginas egos yiradati. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a dira b'tachtonim. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's hashras hashchina. It's the sod of the merkava. And yet we're so scared of it if we don't know how to approach it in the right way. And like Rubenstein was saying, it's so much the sugya of our own lives. Because on the one hand we have this new aura that's revealing itself to us, and we're terrified to face it because I'm finding out that I can't just blame it on a Yerida Sadoros. That there's an achrayas to believe Bepnimis and an Aliyah Sadoros. And that I can actually do something better. And I'm not getting worse from year to year, I'm getting better, even though sometimes it's hard to understand how that's happening. Because the same old averos are schlepping on and on. So you open up Hilchos Yom Kippurim, and you find something remarkable. And again, there's a lot to unpack here, but just in one line. The Mechaber tells us in Tuf Reish Yud Aleph, Ve'itiru, towards the end of the day, min amincha ulamal, as you get closer and closer to the Shas HaNi'ila, as you get closer and closer to that fulfillment of Lefnei Hashem Titar, with the Itzumo Shoyom descending upon a person as the day exits, and that Tara washes over us, by the end of the day, Hitiru v'liftsoa egozim min amincha ulamal. You can begin to start cracking walnuts, says the Mechaber, from late in the afternoon of Yom Kippur. You're allowed to start preparing a little bit. It's a big suya in halacha. You're allowed to do that. You're preparing for after the fast. The Bir Halacha quotes that some say, "The dafka l'shavran ula nichon b'klipasan ara erf." You're not ready to take out the fruit yet. You're still working on it. So, mincha. Everyone's like chilling by mincha, you know. Mincha and Yom Kippur. Everyone like comes back late to shul. Everyone's falling asleep. And like Yonah is screaming at us, right? Malach on your dam, like, now you're sleeping? Okay, everyone's resting up for Ni'ilah, you know, gathering their strength. It's been a long day. But you're not ready. You're not ready to free the walnut completely. The fruit is not ready to be consumed. But you have the confidence late in the day to start cracking the shells, to believe that you're getting closer to extracting that fruit, to freeing yourselves from those klipos. And then the Ramah adds something remarkable. The Ramah says, "V'nogu shatinokos misachin be'egozi." And little kids, as they get bored, Yom Kippur is a long day for them too, even though they got to eat a little lunch along the way. But the tinokos are playing with egozim. The children are playing with egozim. And there's a part of me that wants to say, don't touch the egos, not the egos. Egos is gamat shiachet. Put it away. Ve'ein limchos b'yaldim afilu kodem mincha. By the children know how to handle the egos. The children who represent that sweetness, the egos b'gamatria tov. The children who are innocent. The children who are not repeat offenders like ourselves. The children, ein limchos b'yaldim afilu kodem mincha. Leave the children alone. Let them play with the egos. And then the rabbi said, maybe this playing with the egos is somehow got mixed up with this other minhag of preparing for after the fast to start cracking egosim. By the way, whoever had a break fast of egosim, doesn't say start taking out the bagels out of the freezer. It says so start preparing the egosim for your break fast. Because that's like a big Indian by people. The egos. But the idea is that we're starting to free the egos from its captivity. Right? And Klal Yisrael compared to the egos. Gemara says in Chagiga, why are Tamir Chacham compared to an egos? Really, why is every Jew compared to an egos? As you find in many, many Midrashim, in Shir HaShirim Rava, many, many Midrashim. Why are Klal Yisrael compared to an egos? Because what's amazing about an egos is that when it falls in the mud, when it becomes meluchlach, when it falls in the dirt, right, it doesn't damage the fruit. Those klipos actually protect the fruit. It actually allows the fruit to remain pure, to remain sweet, to remain undamaged. And so too, even a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says, "Husarach." Even a Talmud Chacham, a person who's be'emes, be'etzem, a good person. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a chashav mensch. But he dirtied himself with averos. It's possible for him to wash himself off. Lefnei Hashem titar. And late in the afternoon of Yom Kippur, I'm starting to understand. Ki adua, many tzaddikim would say that when you go down to the water for tashlich, and you throw away your averos. There are tzaddikim who said about other tzaddikim, about their own rebbeim, that I would go down to the water afterwards and gather up those averos. What my rebbe considers to be averos, I would go to collect. The ostrovser, the heilige ostrovser, the chassad v'kodesh l'vracha said, there's two times that you didn't go down to the water. When did we go down to the water? We go down to the water for tashlich to get rid of our averos. And then we go back to the water on Pesach for Mayim Shalav, to draw that water which we're going to use to bake the matzahs. Why are we throwing away the Averos and Rosh Hashanah? Like Rubenstein told us, the difference between the world of Tishrei and the world of Nisan. We're throwing away the Averos on Tishrei, right? Because our tshuva, which is an imperfect tshuva, maybe it's a tshuva out of Yira, we're not ready to, maybe the Averos get downgraded like the Gemara says in Yoma, but we're not ready to hold on to those Averos. By the time we come to Nisan, we enter into a world of Tshuva Me'ava, Tzvam Sei, Chodesh Nisan. We enter into a world of Nisim Guluyim, and it's so easy to be an Eved Hashem, it's so crystal clear to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just to feel the heaviness, the weightiness of Elokim, right? Which again, we're realizing now is also Havayahu Elokim. But to really, to tap into it, to sit by the Seder, right? We go back to that same water and we take back our Averos, because now the Averos have been transformed into Mitzvah. So one more halacha for tonight. And I'll leave you to think about the rest of the sugya for yourselves. We have halacha in Hilchos Pesach. You come to the Pesach Seder. Mitzvah lachalek l'tinokos egozim. You should give out egozim to the children at the Seder. Kedei sheyiru shinoi v'yishalom. That the kids will say, whoa, what's going on? Rosh Hashanah, we were so scared of the egos. We're so afraid of the egos. I didn't know what to do with this egos. I didn't even want it anywhere. And there were some who stayed away from the egos, not just Rosh Hashanah. Like I told you, some in Hagam Svarim say in Tol Hashanah Rabba. I saw actually today someone said that it could be that in the olden days, right, in the olden days, the tzaddikim only had to stay away from it on Rosh Hashanah. But for us, we have a lot of extra work, so we need to extend it all the way to Elul. We need to extend it. We need to extend it all the way in the other direction. And goes in his gematria Elul, gematria Bina, in your tshuva, the egos. But we give out by the time we come to Pesach, just like we're going back to the water to gather up our averos. We're going back to the egozim that we were so afraid of on the Yom HaDin. And we're handing them out to the children. And we're saying, we're not afraid of the egozim. We're ready to do the work of breaking through those klipas. And we realize, we have maturity to realize that the klipas themselves, right, were actually something that protected the fruit inside. So let's just be mekayim this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. And with this I conclude. Halacha says, since, again, we started off by poking fun at gematrias, not with the gematria. Right? We need to, again, on Yom Kippur, we need to start the process of liftsoa egozim in the minchul l'malach. Start cracking open the egozim. So let's crack open the egos. Let's crack it open. Take the word egos. Nu. How do you crack it open? Nu. Miloy. You crack open the egos. Right? Crack open the letters. Let's see what we find. Right? So Aleph. There's only one way to spell Aleph. Gimel. Gimel. Come on.
He's here.
Okay. Gimel. Vav. There's different ways to spell Vav. Right? And Zion. Okay, so if you spell out egos, if you spell it out Aleph, Lamed, Pei, Gimel, Yud, Mem, Lamed, Vav, we'll do the biggest Vav, because we'll crack the egos open as much as we can. Vav, Yud, Vav. And Zion, Skamatria, Kilo Yidach, Mimenu, Nidach. Which means that no Jew will be left behind. Kilo Yidach, Mimenu, Nidach. Just to be fair and to be honest, that's not a pasuk. A pasuk can say for Shmuel, is Levilti Yidach Mimenu Nidach. But for some reason, all the tzaddikim, and sometimes they say, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki lo Yidach Mimenu Nidach, is a term you find in Rav Tzadok a lot of places. Rav Tani uses the phrase. It's a phrase that tzaddikim use to describe how every Jew is going to make it. That we're not going to get trapped. We're not going to be held in captivity. We're going to be able to free ourselves from all of the klipos. Like Rav Shaul Brach said, we're going to be mature Jews who realize that what? That even that last little klipa, klipas noga, we're going to learn how to refine it, we're going to free ourselves, to free the fruit, lagamri. When we crack open all four letters of the egos, the four klipas, when we open it up, and we realize that every Jew has a way to access that inner world, and to access that sweet fruit, which Klal Yisrael themselves are compared to. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, again, to work our way through this sugya of the egos, to realize that the egos is be'emes something tov. And while yes, you can look in the Medrash and it says in the Alkut Shemoni, that the egos is the sar of shichacha, the ultimate forgetter. And that's why we don't eat the egos on the Yom HaZikaron, we don't eat on Rosh Hashanah. And the sugya goes on and on and on. You look around, you see amazing things. But it comes to a point by the end of Yom Kippur where a Jew says, Ad Kan, it's time to start cracking open the egos. The Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Chav Beis, when we list the fruits that we hang in our sukkah, the first one on the list is the egos. On Pesach, we're handing out the egos to the children because they know what to do with the egos. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, and Yirtzeh Hashem, to crack open that klipa, all of those klipos, and discover that sweet fruit that lies inside of each and every one of us.
I'm Hey, I'm the love, I'm the love, I'm the love, I'm the love.